Shalom. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm taking a moment to share some important information about Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit to purchase a new facility for our congregation in the heart of the Jewish community of Rochester, New York. We've experienced several miraculous confirmations that this purchase is God's plan to make us more effective in our outreach to the Jewish community here. Our previous facility has been sold, and we are meeting in rented quarters until we close on the new facility at the end of 2020. Through the generous donations of our regular attenders, we've raised a significant part of the funds that will be needed to close, but we also need your help. If you've been blessed by our podcast, please pray for us and ask the Lord, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for Congregation Shema Yisrael? If you pray this prayer and do what God leads you to do in faith, we will succeed in purchasing this facility and become much more effective in reaching the Jewish people of Rochester with the life-saving good news of Messiah Yeshua. To participate, please visit shematime.org. That's shematime.org, where you can learn more about this amazing move of God and support us by clicking the donate button. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you as you listen to this podcast.
Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah, Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah, Udevar Adonai Mirushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan, Torah, Torah, Le'amo Yisrael, B'kdushato. From out of Zion goes forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Amen. Okay, we're going to do the blessings. I'm going to start, and then the congregation comes in, and then we're going to do it all together. So I guess I would say please rise again. Baruchu et Adonai Hamavarach. Baruch Adonai Hamavarach Le'olam Va'ed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Bachabanu Mikol Ha'amim V'natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. One. For all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Hey, y'all can be seated. And you can be demasked. And Don, if you get a chance, if I'd get some water, that would be good. Thank you for that testimony, Ben. Thank you, Lord. That was amazing. That was amazing. So, as usual, I'm going to start out with a little humor. But before that, Diane has a word. So come on up, Diane. We have Miss Diane having words.
Hello. It's been a while. The Lord would say unto you that he has provided all that you need. He has provided all that we all need. He has provided for our congregation. He has provided a new building, and he will finish providing the building. He will make sure that it is the way that he and we want it, that it will be to his glory, that he is going out amongst the neighborhood, and that he is putting forth his spirit And when we move, it will be a joyous, joyous time. And we are to celebrate and thank him for the wonders that he has done. In Yeshua's name.
Thank you, Diane. We have missed your words. Yes. Oh. So, a little bit of humor. A little doctor humor. A doctor died and went to heaven. And St. Shimon, that's St. Peter, met him at the pearly gates and checked him in. After he registered, Peter said to him, "Oh, look at the time. You must be hungry. Heaven's cafeteria is serving lunch. Why don't you get something to eat?" So the doctor went to the cafeteria, and he noticed a long line. He immediately cut in at the front, only to hear loud protests. "I'm a doctor," he said. "I'm a busy man. I don't have time to wait in line." The other said, "You're in heaven now. We're all the same here. Get to the back of the line and wait your turn." So he did. A little while later, a few weeks, he was waiting patiently on line for lunch. And the doctor noticed a man come dashing in wearing scrubs, a lab coat, a stethoscope around his neck. He butted in at the head of the line. No one uttered a peep. "Hey," he said to the man in front of him, "who does that guy think he is?" "Oh, that's God," said the man. "He likes to play doctor." Well, today I was led to speak truth about the truth. Okay? The truth is very important, and we are living in a day when we struggle with knowing the truth. How many agree with that? So, to start, let's start with an understanding of the origin of untruth, of lies and deception. So speaking of Satan, Yeshua said in John chapter 8, verse 44, "From the start, he was a murderer, and he has never stood by the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is speaking in character, because he is a liar, indeed the inventor of the lie." So Satan invented lying. He has a patent on it, probably. And according to this verse, there is no truth in him. And this is interesting. He has never stood by the truth, meaning he has never defended the truth. He's never stood up for the truth. And what about that murdering thing? Well, because his deceptions lead to death, eternal death, he is a murderer. He causes people to die eternally. So how many of you whom I can see, I can't see the folks on the other side of the live stream camera. How many of you have ever been deceived or lied to? Everybody. So how do you feel when you've been deceived? When you find out you've been deceived? Angry? Yes. And of course, that doesn't happen until you find out you've been deceived. And then you're thankful, because when you find out you've been deceived, you're not deceived anymore. Right? So why is it always such a great relief to have deception broken? Why is deception so bad for us? Well, speaking of those who have fallen into deception, as I have and some of you have, Rabbi Shaul, he says they need God to grant them the opportunity to, in 2 Timothy 2:25, acquire full knowledge of the truth. In verse 26, come to their senses and escape the trap of the adversary after having been captured alive by him to do his will. So we learn from this that without the full knowledge of the truth, you and I can be caught in the trap of the adversary, which is Satan. No one gets captured by a trap that they can see, right? That's the whole idea of a trap. It's hidden. So no one who is deceived knows they are deceived. It's always a hidden trap. So Satan's deceptions are all a trap, because he never comes out and says, "I'm going to deceive you. Here we go," right? You're deceived. You don't know you're deceived. If you knew you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived anymore. Right? So it's a trap. And if you don't have, according to this verse, full knowledge of the truth, you will be captured alive by Satan. Now, this is not talking about hell. This is talking about in this life. And made to do his will. You see that? Captured alive to do his will. And his will is always the complete opposite of God's will. So if you are captured alive by Satan, you are in what we call bondage. And since God's will is good for you, doing Satan's will is not only bondage, but it's going to lead to what? Death and destruction. Destruction. So we are brought into bondage and kept from God through Satan's deceptions, through his lies. But Yeshua said this, and we all know this. Let's read it together. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from the trap of Satan, from being deceived into doing his will. But then, some might be thinking, well, what is the truth? And Yeshua gives an answer that if you put these two verses together, it is amazing. In John 14, 6, again, a verse that you all know, Yeshua said, I am the way, and what? And the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you put these two verses together, you'll know the truth will set you free. The truth is what? Yeshua. So knowing Yeshua will set you free. But then he also said this in John 17, 17, speaking to God, he was praying, set them being his disciples, apart for holiness by means of the truth. Your word is truth. So also knowing God's word will set you free. Now, many in our culture are saying that there is no real truth. There's no objective truth. But the Bible clearly contradicts that. It's saying this is the truth. Now, I spent the first 31 years of my life in several deceptions. Maybe not 31 years, because I probably didn't get into deception until I was about 6 years old. So let's say 25 years, the first 25 years of my life, or the second 25, 6 years and then 25 years. Okay? First, I was deceived by the atheist deception because my parents were atheists. That is, that there is no God. That our incredible universe that we just saw a picture of just came about by chance. There's no spiritual realm. There's nothing beyond the material world. There's no heaven and there's no hell. That deception brought me into bondage. Bondage of fear, of hopelessness, of loneliness, of alcoholism, of lawlessness, and of lust. Then, because of my upbringing, I was deceived by the socialist deception. And that is that religion is the opiate of the masses. That's how the government keeps people in control. And that all entrepreneurs or business people are evil. They're motivated by greed. That deception brought me into the bondage of rebellion and poverty. And then I was deceived by the Jewish deception. Now, the Jewish religion is by attending the different synagogues, bar mitzvahs, weddings that I attended as a young person in my family. Jewish religion is mostly about rituals. There's no spirituality to it. And then my Jewish deception was Yeshua is not for Jews. And Christians hate us and want to destroy us. And this book, the back of this book, the New Covenant, it teaches people to hate Jews because the people who followed this back of this book, they all persecuted us. So these deceptions brought me into the bondage of the occult, yoga, drugs. Because when I began to search for spiritual meaning in life, I didn't look to Judaism. I didn't look to Christianity, but I looked in the occult. Now, most Messianic Jewish believers share some of these deceptions. And those who are Messianic Jews who grew up in religious homes were under another deception. And that is that the oral Torah, which is compiled in what's called the Tama, has as much authority as the scriptures. And it was given to God by Moses on Mount Sinai and passed down orally for 1,600 years before it was written down, and we have it now today. And another deception, that God gave the Orthodox rabbis the authority to decree things that contradicted the written scriptures. And that you could only understand the written scriptures in the Bible by studying what all the great rabbis had said about them in the Talmud, because we aren't capable of understanding it. So, in addition to these deceptions that I was under, when I became a believer, I got under further deceptions. My Jewish family told me, well, you've converted to Christianity. You're not Jewish anymore. And I began to go to a church, and my new Christian friends told me, oh, God's finished with the Jewish people. They're under a curse. The law that God gave to Israel, like Shabbat and the Moedim, Kashrut, kosher laws, the circumcision, they're no longer valid. As a Jewish believer, you should forget God's instruction to Israel. Just assimilate, teach your children to assimilate into the Gentile church. It wasn't until I read a very wonderful book called The Fig Tree Blossoms by Paul Lieberman that I understood that those were all deceptions too. Now, many of you who are not Jewish have been deceived by lies too, right? How many were raised in the Catholic Church? Okay, about a third. You had to confess to a priest, had to believe in the Pope's infallibility, had to pray to the Virgin Mary. To be saved, you had to attend church. Only priests could understand the Bible, and the church leaders had authority to contradict Scripture. Boy, does that sound familiar? Just like what the rabbis taught. And if you're raised in a Protestant church, mainline or not really very biblically based, you might have been taught, well, you don't need to be born again. You were raised as a Christian. And there's no need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All the followers, all the people who come to this church are filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody experience some of that? So what has happened is all of us have come out of deception. You'll agree with me with that? Anybody here who didn't come out of deception? All of us have come out of deception. And we're all people, every one of you here and watching, are people searching for the truth. Are you all searching for the truth? Absolutely. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 says something very interesting. Acquire truth and do not sell it. Acquire wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The truth is the principal thing. So I believe that most of you who are here or watching online are doing it because you are seeking the truth. Is that true? Yes. All right, you guys who are here, if that's true, just give God an applause. I want everybody to hear. Okay. And here's why you're here. You know there's truth locked in both the New Covenant and the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures. And you want to acquire that truth. So you start looking into the Messianic movement. And if there's one unifying characteristic of people involved in and drawn to the Messianic movement, it is that they are truth seekers. That's what I've learned in all my years here. So if you're listening today or watching online, and for all of you here, I commend you, because you're here and you're watching and you're listening because you are a truth seeker. You are a truth seeker. Give yourself a hand. Is that right? Is there anybody here who's not a truth seeker? Anybody own up to that? No, you're all here because you are truth speakers. Now, in addition to the spiritual deceptions we're all exposed to, there are many other deceptions happening in our world today, especially in the public debate that goes on in the media. So I want to recommend somebody to you. I've been studying Dinesh D'Souza's writings and talks. They're available on YouTube. He's a historian whose mission in life is to reveal the truth. And I want to just give two examples of some things I've learned from him that are really, I think, amazing. let me set the stage here by saying in politics, we have the left wing. The left wing is liberal and really far on the left wing is like socialist. Everybody understand that, right? And then we have the right wing, which is conservative, okay, and capitalist. So everybody understand that. So Antifa. Antifa, as we are all aware, is a militant organization that has been inciting riots, we're seeing. Everybody aware of Antifa? Right. Now, the common understanding is that Antifa stands for anti-what? Anti-fascist. Right. Because that's their acronym. They're anti-Antifa, anti-fascist. And it's fighting against fascists, right? Now, the fascists must be the right-wing ultra-conservative groups, right? And as we all know, Nazis were fascists, right? Right? Nazis were fascists, so we assume they were right-wing, right? Conservative, capitalists. The truth is that fascism was developed by Benito Mussolini, the dictator of Italy. And the reason he developed it is that he observed that during World War I, the socialists in all the different countries of Europe, who were very active at that time, they ended up fighting against each other in other nations rather than all uniting together and fighting the capitalists, which were their common enemy. So Mussolini concluded that nationalism was a more powerful force than socialism. And so he developed fascism, which combines socialism and nationalism. So fascism is not a right-wing conservative capitalist movement. It's a left-wing socialist movement. Now, proof. You all know the word Nazi, right? Nazi, this I got from the dictionary. The term Nazi derives from the first two syllables of the name given in German to a member of the Nazi Socialist Political Party. Did you catch that? The Nazi Party were socialists over on this side. And everybody thinks they're over on this side. So the truth is that fascism is a form of socialism, left wing. The lie is that fascism is right wing. So Antifa should be fighting against who? Socialists, because Antifa is against fascists, and fascists are socialists. All right, this is blowing your mind? Right. And instead, they're fighting against themselves. Amazing. Okay, second example. We all know that the Democratic Party in America has been portraying themselves as the party of the minorities, right? And they're calling the Republicans racists, right? But in the 1800s, the Democratic Party was the party of the slave owners. In the South and the North, they were the ones who opposed emancipation. When Lincoln, a Republican who was against slavery, won the election, the Democrats in the South left the Union and started the Civil War. After the Civil War, and this is really important to understand, they created the Jim Crow segregation laws in the South and the North, and they opposed integration. So when statues of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington are being torn down because they own slaves, what about the prominent leaders of the Democratic Party in the past? They were not only slave owners, but they enacted segregation laws. And nobody even acknowledges this or knows it because of the big deception. Is that amazing? So we are bombarded with lies by the media. The mainstream media is clearly biased against the president. I saw some statistics on their bias. It's just amazing. In a recent week, the president received 150 times the coverage of Joe Biden. 150 times. And it was completely negative. Every bit of it was negative in the mainstream media. So what can you do to find the truth? Well, my advice, not coming from the Lord, but my advice, absolutely avoid mainstream media and their websites. CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, PBS, BBC, they're all over there. Make use of fact-checking websites. There are many. And you got to be careful. Some of them are biased too. Now, if you think you can get the truth from your friends on social media, you will also find lots of conspiracy theories and fake news on social media. So here's my recommendation. I put it up on a slide. Fox News Channel TV and website. If you don't want to sit around and watch the news, you just want to read, website. I believe if it's a story that makes Fox News, it's been checked out. So at least it's not conspiracy theory or fake news. Now, you might think Fox News is biased toward conservatives, but I go to Fox News' website a lot, and I know by name the four non-conservative contributors to Fox News. I know them by name because they really annoy me. So it is both sides. It is both sides. Another good place is CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, news site. And this one is very interesting, worthynews.com. It's run by a gentleman named George Witten from Israel. And I actually met and had dinner with George at the Messianic Leadership Roundtable last year. And he explained to me that he's a Gentile believer. He's married to an Israeli wife, and they live in Israel. And what he does is he goes through 40 sources of news every morning and sorts out what he thinks is worthy, that's why it's called worthy, and puts them up on his website. So that's a great resource. And of course, there's also talk radio, our own Michael Brown, Dennis Prager, Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin. Interesting, three of those guys are Jewish. Oh, there's lots of them on. So, like I said, that's my personal opinion. Don't take it like it's from the Lord. But I want to go, in the time we have left here now, to the Bible. Because the Bible gives some very important instruction on how else tell the truth, besides going to the fact-checking websites. Okay? So, let's take a look at these four means. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Yeshua is speaking. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but will say only what he hears. He will also announce to you the events of the future. So one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to reveal the truth to us. Certainly he reveals the truth of the Word of God. You can't understand God's Word without the Holy Spirit. But you can also pray for discernment, and the Holy Spirit will show you what's true and what's false on any subject. Bible teaching, politics, health, child rearing. In fact, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is a very little known gift, but I think it's really important. It's called discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirits gives you the ability to discern the spirit behind the spoken word. Also, behind the words in a song or in a drama or written words. And God will give you that gift when you ask for it. I believe he wants you to know the truth. You believe he wants you to know the truth? So if you're reading something and you know, you want to know if this is true, Lord, give me the gift of discerning of spirits so I can tell. So I can tell. Now, we also live in a time when there's a danger of people who claim to be believers speaking falsehood, even in God's name. So in this week's Parsha, we read some interesting things here. In Deuteronomy chapter 18:18, I will raise up a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command. Now this is clearly prophesying of Yeshua. I hope everybody can see that, because there is no other prophet in the Bible or since who was like Moses except Yeshua. You might think, well, Elisha, they did miracles like Moses, somewhat like Moses, but they didn't leave us the body of teachings that Moses left us. And then we have people like Elijah, who left us a great body of teaching in his book, but he didn't do miracles like Moses did. So the only one that could fulfill this is Yeshua. Verse 19, now whoever does not listen to my words that this prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. That's a pretty stern warning for us to obey Yeshua. And I'm going to go over here and read from the scroll. and translate it as I go. So this is verse 20, and I believe we have it up there, right. Ach HaNavi, also the prophet, Asher Yazid, who presumes, LeDavar Davar, to speak words, Bishmi, in my name, Et Asher Lo Tviti, LeDavar, that I have not commanded him to speak. But Asher Yedaver, and who speaks B'Shem Elohim, in the name of God's Acharim, other. Umet Hanavi Hahu, he must die, that prophet. So, we see here all who call themselves prophets. How many know that there are people calling themselves prophets out there? They need to count the cost of this warning. And many prophets have arisen in the last few years in the body. They don't speak in the name of other gods, but they certainly do presume to speak words in God's name. And I pray for them that they are speaking words in God's name, and I'm sure some do. But I'm also sure some don't. Verse 21. Now, should you say in your heart, how would we recognize the word that Adonai has not spoken? Or for that matter, the words that he has spoken. This is still a pretty valid question for today, right? Well, here's the prescription from the Lord. Verse 22, when a prophet speaks in Adonai's name and the word does not happen or come true, that is a word that Adonai has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. So this is a test for a true prophet. But notice that it's only a test of what is called predictive prophecy, predicting the future. And predictive prophecy is not the only kind of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 says this, but someone prophesying is speaking to people, edifying, encouraging, and comforting them. So prophecy can also be these things, instructing, correcting, Bible teaching, like I'm doing right now. Preaching can be considered prophecy when it involves a revelation from God about the scriptures or about whatever the subject is. But when prophecy is predictive, if the prediction does not come to pass, the person has spoken presumptuously. This test works well if the person predicts something in the near future. You can simply wait until the day that he's predicting and see if it happens. But the test doesn't work at all when it's a prediction far in the future. Without a time machine, it's impossible to check on if it's going to come true. Now, the Bible is full of predictive prophecies that history has confirmed have come to pass. In fact, that is the proof that the Bible has been given to us by God, because only he is outside time and can speak through his prophets to predict the future. So today's prophets and those who hear them need to be very sure they are speaking God's words, words from him, when they make predictions. Because this is something in our time. With modern recording techniques, their predictions of the near future can easily be checked, right? And I think of Jonathan Cahn, whom we mentioned here earlier and whom I know all of us greatly admire, but when you hear people interview him and they call him a prophet, do you know what he says? I'm not a prophet. Because he doesn't predict the future. He just reveals applications of the Bible to our time. And that's not predicting the future. So, we're at a bit of a quandary here. Aside from waiting to see if the predictions come true, are there other ways of determining if a prophet is speaking words from God? If they are a true prophet or a false prophet? So let's look at four tests. Okay? First, speaking of the people in Berea, in Acts chapter 17. Now, the people here, that's Berea, were of nobler character than the ones in Thessalonica. They eagerly welcomed the message. The message was brought by Paul. Checking the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, every day to see if the things Shaul was saying were true. So the first test of whether the message is predictive or not, whether it is or not, should be like the Bereans. The words inspired by God will be in agreement with what? the written scriptures. And by the way, that should be a good incentive to study the word so that you not be deceived. Now, referring to the Holy Spirit, Yeshua gave a second test. In John 16, verse 14, it says this, "He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me because he will receive from what is mine and announce it to you." So the second test is a person communicating or moving in the Spirit will glorify Yeshua. What does that mean? He will cause Yeshua to be esteemed, to be looked up to. He will reveal good things about Yeshua, not about himself, his or someone else's ministry, some book, some technique, some method, but about Yeshua. So that's the second one. It will glorify Yeshua. Thirdly, James wrote about the tongue, the fruit of the tongue. In James chapter 3, verse 12, "Can a fig tree yield olives, my brothers, or a grapevine figs? Neither does salt water produce fresh." And what he's talking about here is that you will know if a person is speaking from God by the fruit of his or her tongue, by their words. The fruit of the tongue is evident to all who hear it. And this understanding is, again, more important today than in James' time when he wrote that. Because in his time, quotes weren't preserved for posterity. Today, much that is spoken publicly is recorded, either audio or video. And we are held accountable for what we said in the past. You've seen that happening in politics all the time now. Look what this person said a few years ago, right? Those who speak publicly are held to a higher standard because of the modern recording techniques. So you can check to see if somebody is speaking something you're wondering it through. You can check if he spoke biblical values in the past by going and checking out former things that he said, especially if he's predicting the future. Did his predictions of the future come to pass in the past that has already happened? Okay. Another test. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Yeshua speaking. "Beware of the false prophets. They come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they are hungry wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can people pick grapes from a thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" And verse 17, "Likewise, every healthy tree produces good fruit, but a poor tree produces bad fruit." Verse 18, "A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, or a poor tree good fruit." Now, Yeshua is talking about fruits, using the same word that James used, but he's talking about a different kind of fruits. "You shall know true and false prophets by their fruits," but not the fruits of what they're saying, but there are two kinds of fruits that you will know them by: external fruits and internal fruits. What are external fruits? External fruits are the fruits of their efforts, their ministry, and they're visible by observing them. What is the size of the audience they have? What books have they written? What outreaches have they done? What endorsements do they have? Those are all external fruits. And it is possible to check those out on people. So you can check to see if they have endorsements by, knowledgeable, reputable people, for instance. But then there's the problem, the internal fruits. What are the internal fruits? The fruits of the Spirit. And internal fruits are only visible in real interactions face-to-face with real people. So to see internal fruits, you need to be able to personally interact with that person, right? There's no way you can know the internal fruits and otherwise. And it doesn't work online or even by the phone. I've known people who have been amazingly deceived, especially by dating websites, about who the person is that they think they're interacting with online. Anybody else know about that? Lots of deception. So this is the great value of being part of a local congregation. Many have a knowledge of the scripture and want to teach it, but have not applied it to their lives and therefore can't truly teach it. And that is only evident from their lifestyle, their relationships with others. So how can you tell what a person's ability to work with others is like, unless you've worked with them? or how they deal with stress, unless you've been in a stressful situation with them, or how they treat their children, unless you've been with them when they're with their children. Do they have patience? Are they self-controlled? Are they loving? Do they have peace? Do they have joy? So this is a paradox here, that although modern communication techniques are a great blessing in that they enable the sharing of God's word in unprecedented ways to all over the world, they also have a great danger because they enable a person to have a large audience of people who don't know them, who don't know them personally. Without that personal interaction, you cannot know their internal fruits. Now, I experienced this as a new believer. I became a big fan of Kenneth Copeland. Anybody else a Kenneth Copeland fan? Great preacher. I listened to all of his teachings on the radio. I bought his books. Diane and I even traveled to go to a conference to hear him speaking. And it was actually at that conference that the Holy Spirit showed me something. And what he showed me was that I had no idea what this man was really like. Okay? When things got tense, when he was in an uncomfortable situation, when his will was crossed, he might be bearing lots of the fruit of the Spirit. I hope he is. But I don't have any way of knowing that. All I knew about him was his public persona, which I thought was great. The words coming out of his mouth. And the Holy Spirit very clearly said, you need to step back from following this man and seek to be taught and discipled by people you can actually know. And then he led me to that person, a local pastor, and I could see the fruit of the Spirit in his life. It was evident because I was hanging out with him. So that's a warning. Now, interesting that the Holy Spirit had me talk about this, because this test applies to those of you who are listening right now online and are not local, because you live too far away to get to know me. So I'm telling you to take what I'm saying with a grain of salt because you don't know me. Okay? You need to apply the other techniques to evaluate what I'm saying. Does it agree with the written word? Does it glorify Yeshua? Do my past teachings also meet that criterion? Are my outward fruits good? But you can't know those internal fruits unless you know, you travel here and come hang out with me. Right? So I'm glad to all of you out there in live stream world, I'm glad you're listening or watching, but you need to go and hook up with a local congregation, okay, where you get to know the rabbi or the pastor, because that is so important to see their fruit. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for revealing to us that Satan is the inventor of lies, inventor of deceptions, that there's no truth in him, and that his deceptions lead to bondage and eternal death. And thank you, Lord, that you want to remove the lies that Satan has deceived us with, to escape his traps and bondage, and to do your will, not his will. And we thank you, Lord, that you tell us to be set free. It's very simple. We must know the truth, and that you are the truth, and that your word is the truth. It's not a great mystery. It's not rocket science. Get to know Yeshua. Get to know his word. You will know the truth, and you will be kept from deception. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, we thank you for the deceptions. I thank you personally for the deceptions you set me free from. Atheism, socialism, non-messianic Judaism, the occult. Thank you for the deceptions you set others here who are hearing this from. Catholicism, replacement theology, mainstream Judaism. And I thank you, Lord. It is an honor to be able to share your word with people who are drawn to the Messianic movement, because they are all seeking the truth. They're not looking for cover-ups. They're not looking for ear tickling. They're seeking the truth. And I am so honored, Lord, to have been called to share the truth with them. And I pray for myself, Lord, that you would keep me on the path of truth. Thank you, Lord. And Father, in this world, thank you for those who are revealing truth in the midst of so much fake news. I pray for Dinesh and for all those radio hosts and for George Witten, who has got that website, Father. Protect them. Prosper them. Show us who they are so we can receive from them, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, whom you tell us is the revealer of truth. And we pray, and if you're willing to pray for this, just lift up your hand right now. Give us the gift, Father, of discerning of spirits to reveal truth from deception, Lord. We want to walk in the truth. You want us to walk in the truth. You have a gift that you want to give to keep us walking in the truth. So we receive it right now, Father. We receive it. And give us the discipline that when we're listening to something or we're reading something and we get that little feeling of like, well, I don't know about this, to pray and say, Lord, show us. Is this the truth or is it not? And I pray, Father, also that you give us the discipline to search the scriptures, to confirm what we hear. And when we get a chance to share, that we would glorify you in all that we communicate, Lord. We would glorify you. Help us to discern between true and false prophets and speakers by their words and their fruits, Lord, their external fruits and their fruit of the Spirit, if we can know them. And finally, Lord, connect us with those who are flowing in your Spirit to teach us, those whom we can actually have fellowship with so we can see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And I'm just thankful, Lord, that the Messianic movement, we get together, not this year only once, but usually at least twice a year, sometimes more, and we have fellowship together, and we get to know each other, the rabbis, so that we know who we can trust and who has the fruit of the Spirit in their lives and who doesn't. And I just thank you for that organization that does that. I ask your anointing on it and your protection of it, especially with this virus that has caused us not to be able to get together. And Father, I just pray right now, just to end this up, that Lord, that these seekers of truth who are praying with me right now would have an abundance of truth and would be able to share that truth in Yeshua's awesome name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Ethel's going to come and recite the post-Torah blessing, and Elizabeth and I are going to then put the scroll away.
Please rise. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Natan Lanu Et Torah Med V'chaye Olam Nata B'tochenu Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us a Torah of truth and has planted eternal life in our midst. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. Eitz Chaim hi lemakazikim ba v'tomchecha me'ushar drachecha darcheinu V'chol nativotecha shalom Hashiveinu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva Yomeinu kekedem. It is a tree of life to those who take hold of it, and those who support it are praiseworthy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Bring us back, Lord, to you, and we shall come renew our days of old.